Okay, tonight what we're going to do, I want to start off with a couple of things from Pakistan, which is where we were going to go and have part of our ministry. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for the wonderful opportunity that we have to live in the time in which we do. The opportunity, Heavenly Father, to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, to allow the world and angels to see, Heavenly Father, your love, not ours, but your love, if we will walk in the Spirit. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will guide us now that we can see advantages of walking in the Spirit, the advantage of the power of spiritual love flowing through. In Christ's name, amen. This is called Persecution Watch in Pakistan. Remember, we were going to go to Quetta, which has been the site of a lot of problems and riots and things. Christians have been asking for protection from the government because of the expected war between the United States and neighboring Afghanistan's Taliban regime. According to the Los Angeles Times, church leaders and parishioners believe that enraged Islamic militants will take out their fury at America on the country's tiny Christian community. Our people are living in fear, said Reverend Max, the priest of the Holy Rosary Roman Catholic Church in Quetta, which is where we would have been, where there are only about 25,000 Christians in the city of 1.2 million people. The mostly Muslim country of 140 million has less than 2 million Christians, mostly Catholics, Episcopalians, and Pentecostals. Patrick Saint Massah, chairman of Quetta's Asia United Christian Association, is trying to get the word out that believers are vulnerable before America launches its attacks. Many Christians are residing among the Muslims, and especially in Quetta, these Pushtuns from Afghanistan are residing with us, said Massah, referring to the ethnic group that is the main base of the Taliban movement. He said Christians should get financial aid from America so they can build a Christian colony, a self-imposed ghetto, where they could live securely behind a cordon of police and our soldiers. Our main problem is that we are all very poor, and they are very, very poor. An update on that. Many Christians, this is another, but it's an update from that one, Persecution Watch Pakistan. Many Christians have returned to the homes they fled during reprisal of the anti-Muslim incidents in the United States following the September the 11th terrorist attacks. But they remain uneasy, bracing themselves for likely trouble in the wake of an American strike against Afghanistan. Despite the government's support of action against terrorism, much of the country's predominantly Muslim population has expressed support for Afghanistan's ruling Taliban. Some Muslim leaders have urged their followers to take revenge on Pakistani Christians for attacks on Muslims by the United States. According to the Barnabas Fund, based in the United Kingdom, one church has already been stoned and a Christian school vandalized. Emmanuel Lauren, pastor of a church, said the country was a tinderbox, the Sun reported. If this erupts in our country, I believe no one will be able to stop them from killing us. The newspaper said that the terrorist attacks had only heightened existing religious tensions in the country, where just 2% of the 141 million population is Christian. S.M. Gill, a church elder, said that his home had been stoned 3 times just in the last 2 months. Just an update of what's going on in Pakistan. We do need to be in prayer. I mean, here we are concerned about our place here, but we're not in any kind of a danger like they are, you know, for being Christian. And so we need to be in prayer. Okay, let's continue our study tonight. And we are in the midst of looking at spiritual love and how love is not jealous. And where we have moved to now. Okay, maybe that'll stop that for a while. And I thought that would do it, but that didn't do it. Okay. Goblins and ghouls and all that, all right? What we're doing right now is we're looking at what the world sees when they see the jealousy and envy. We're looking at the section dealing with why spiritual love is not envious and is not jealous. And we got started on this along with our study of Psalm 73 last week. We looked at the first one, and we saw that the environment of jealousy in a local church can disrupt and even neutralize an entire local assembly from learning the scripture. That brings us to point two in this point in our study. Now, and like I said, we've already noted some of these things, but let's note this. I don't think we covered point two last week. Anybody?
We're an environment of jealousy.
Yeah.
Outside of us.
And you said point one, environment and jealousy in the local church?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's
okay, that's what I thought. That's where I have my mark here. Jealousy is, like love, is a force that has great impact, as we've already seen. And not only will it destroy the local church and these types of things, but jealousy finds happiness. It finds satisfaction. Even reward in anything that happens to others that they are jealous of. If a person has jealousy in their soul, they will find happiness or satisfaction in anything bad that might happen to others to take away some of their honor or prosperity, something that they have. So that if a person is jealous of someone, and something happens to that person where they will lose prosperity or lose honor, they lose their influence, whatever it may be, those who are jealous find a great happiness in that. Okay, let's turn in the scriptures to Proverbs chapter 6. I don't know what's rubbing on because there's nothing moving, but anyway. It might be down a little bit, I don't know. Okay. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look. And for this one, let's look at verse 34. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Now, without exegeting and going through everything, what we have here, jealousy and rage is inside, and we've already seen how if a person's jealous, it just eats away at their whole inner being. And they will not spare in the day of vengeance, meaning when the time comes that other person that they're jealous of starts losing things, they're even more ferocious, and they want that person really hurting that they are jealous of. And that's what we have. And this is just the opposite of spiritual love. Where spiritual love rejoices when God prospers and another person is prospered. But jealousy and people, we're not going to get involved in it here, but we're going to just see it a lot in our study of be who you are in Christ and the stress and anxiety and depression. But this jealousy eats away, and you even contrive against the person. It may be gossip. It may be contriving how they can lose their money or lose their position. Whatever you can do This is what jealousy will do. It can so consume to destroy, and it is just unbelievably powerful. Spiritual love will not allow you to allow this to happen inside of you if there's spiritual love there. But jealousy will take advantage and seek to hurt other people if they're in some kind of a problem anyway. And so from this, I hope we can begin to see how magnificent spiritual love is. I mean, what do you want to do if this is creeping into your bones and into your soul I can't tell anybody, but I'm really glad this is happening to that person. And you don't want that to happen. People, the solution is spiritual love. And unfortunately, that's what people don't want. They don't want to do spiritual love. They want to walk on and do something else. So maybe you see how really magnificent what God has given to us in spiritual love. It will not tolerate jealousy. And you and I can look at a situation and not tolerate it in our mind, but what I'm talking about is there's actually a force inside of you, spiritual love, that just will not tolerate that. This will not be in your soul if you are walking in the power of the Spirit. Spiritual love finds no comfort in the discomfort of others. Very important. Spiritual love finds no comfort in the discomfort of others. And that's why spiritual love will not gossip. That's why spiritual love will not add to a person's problems and talk about it and contrive and tell others so that they lose their money or they lose their influence, whatever it may be. So this is why spiritual love characterizes our life, because of these things. Okay. Let's see. First of all, we saw the outward environment you can see in the church. Point two, you can see it in the way that you start handling when other people start hurting that you're jealous of, and jealousy will do whatever it can. It just shows no mercy at that time, whereas love does. The third one, jealousy upon seeing the misfortune of others. Jealousy, when it sees the misfortune of others, does not just stop at being comforted. Does not stop at just being comforted by their hurt. But jealousy goes on to add to it. Now, it does this in the area of gossip, to build oneself up. If when you're jealous, you can run that person down, you're building yourself up. That's what you're actually doing. You're trying to make yourself look better. And so if you can make the other person look bad, you are going to look better. And again, you're just going to know a great deal about yourself. You're going to know a great deal about what's going on inside of you, whether you're in the Spirit or not in the Spirit, by what happens inside of you when others are prospered or when others lose their prosperity or lose some position. What happens in your soul about those kinds of things? Spiritual love will make you immune to other people's prosperity. Spiritual love will cause you to be the source of encouragement in their suffering. People, those are powerful. Those are two things that spiritual love will do. One, it will make you immune to their prosperity so that you will not be jealous of it. And secondly, spiritual love will cause you to be the source of encouragement in their hurt, in their suffering, in their loss. I guess loss is even a better word than suffering, considering what we're talking about. Okay, four. Jealousy creates an environment around you, outer environment, that no one around you will withstand very long. No one's going to want to be around you very long. Okay, let's take a look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Let's look at verse 4. Proverbs 27, verse 4. Wrath is fierce, and anger is a flood. That's pretty bad. Wrath and anger. But look what it says. But who can stand before jealousy? You might even survive someone's anger. You might survive their wrath. But you're not going to survive their jealousy. When they seek out after you, they're going to get you. And that's why I said under 4.4 that it creates, if there's jealousy, it creates an environment where people just cannot withstand. They're not going to be around you. They're going to get away. Wrath is cruel, as we have here. What wrath is fierce, that means cruel. Where the Hebrew word is that it's cruel. And anger. Now, what is it like a flood? What that means is that the picture is just overwhelming. It just covers you up. The flood, if you think of a flood, and going through, I want you to get a picture of how bad those are. Jealousy's worse. That's why the first negative about love is not jealous. It's really interesting that that's the first thing said about, the first negative about love. So, love, on the other hand, spiritual love is long-suffering, it's kind to others, but jealousy is going to create an environment where those close to you, your home, your social life, church, wherever you are, simply can't stand being around you very long. They're going to pull away. 5. It is the nature, this is very important, it is the nature of our flesh person to be superior and to be in control. It is the nature of our flesh self to be superior and to be in control. This was the source of sin in Satan in the prehistoric time. This was the sin in regard to Adam and Eve, especially Eve, to rival God, to be like God, to be sufficient like God, to be independent of God. You will be like God, therefore independent. So this is the nature of self. The Bible is filled with examples of all of this. Satan, jealous of God. Therefore, we have the rebellion in the prehistoric world, and we have the flow all the way through history, putting him on the cross, his jealousy of God. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Joseph's brothers. It's all the way through the Bible. People just can't fathom how important that the Bible says love is not jealous. How important that is in the whole makeup of what love is. And how horrible jealousy is through history. Okay? 6. It was jealousy that led the religious leaders to crucify Jesus Christ. Jealousy. Now, I'm going to draw some parallels here for you, but turn with me to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Who wrote the Gospel of Mark? Anybody know? Yeah. It was Peter who dictated it to Mark. Peter dictated it to young Mark. And so really what we're reading are Peter's words. It's Peter's gospel. You got Matthew's gospel and John's gospel, and Dr. Luke's gospel, but this is actually Peter's. And he dictated it to Mark who wrote it, and therefore we call it the Gospel of Mark, but it was really Peter. Okay, look at Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, verse 10. For he was aware that the chief priests had delivered him up. Okay, Pilate is aware that the chief priests of Israel, the Jews, delivered him, Jesus Christ, up to him to be crucified because of envy. They were jealous. They were totally jealous. Now, stay with me. We saw this ideal of how religion murders. Where was the first place in the Bible where we saw how religion reacts and murders? We saw it with Cain and Abel, if you remember. Cain is a classic example. People, it was not about money. It was not about women. It was not those kinds of things. It was religion. God was going to accept what Cain did and reject what Cain did, accept what Abel, his brother, did. And Cain, representing jealousy, or representing religion, became jealous and did what? Went and murdered his brother. This is characteristic of religion through history, all the way through history. And the Protestant movement is not void of it either. In the period of the Crusades and various times, the Roman Church is filled with it. But it seeks to murder. Now here's what's interesting. That wasn't enough. Killing or murdering Jesus Christ was not enough. It didn't stop there. They were filled with jealousy more and more after they got rid of Jesus Christ. Look at me at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Okay, Acts chapter 5, look at verse 17, please. Now, this is well into the church period now, after the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, but the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is the set of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. And what they're jealous of is the spreading of the gospel. People still following this man, Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 13, please. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at 13:45. Acts 13:45. But when the Jews, all right, verse 44, in the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming the gospel. The word of God there doesn't mean just Bible doctrine. Through the Bible, the word of God means specifically the truth of the gospel. And they became so jealous of the crowd. People, this haunts a lot of preachers. It haunts a lot of people, or the crowds and the numbers become jealous in the numbers gain. And how many do you have? How many did you baptize? And all this type of thing becomes extremely powerful. One more while we're here. Let's look at 17:5, Acts chapter 17, verse 5. Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews, these are the religious Jews now, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and coming upon the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. Okay, this is the way jealousy, you can't believe the extent that it'll do, how far jealousy will go in its plots and its conspiracy to destroy the object of whatever it is jealous of. Okay, let's look at point 7. So point 6, jealousy led to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and then even after killing him, they still were jealous of him. Okay, now point 7. The source of jealousy is self. The self hates when people are prospered, inequality, hates the prosperity of others. Flesh feels threatened. And then as an immune system, develops a plan of resentment and a way to destroy that inequality. And that's what we're looking at, the ways that it will destroy that inequality. Jealousy then leads to hate, anger. Now, what are these things? These are ways to be in control in your mind. You think you're in control. When you're not in control and people are being prospered, the way to get back into control is these kind of attitudes. We're going to see in our study something very interesting I've learned. and I'll develop a deal as to how this is true. But a lot of reasons, one of the reasons people have anxiety and stress and depression in life, it's their way to be back in control. And it's a weird thing that's happening, but it's their way of, they've lost control, so they're going to get back in control by their anxiety and their stress and their depression. And we'll see how that happens. Well, that's what hate and these things are, and bitterness are, from jealousy when others are prospered and blessed. It creates a horrible environment in the soul that cannot be contained in the soul, and then has to reach out and hurt the other person. Has to reach out and hurt the other person. Okay, what I want to do now is I want to spend just a moment with you. Sometimes I use the phrase jealousy, envy. Jealousy, envy. Is there a difference? Let's take a look. In some cases, the words are used interchangeably, to be jealous and to envy. But there is a little difference. Now, let's first of all look at the English. In Webster, jealousy. Let me give you the Webster's definition of jealousy. Intolerant of rivalry. Intolerant of rivalry. Webster, in defining jealousy, adds that it is even the disposition. Jealousy is the disposition, the propensity to always suspect rivalry or unfaithfulness in a man woman relationship, in a close relationship. So Webster says jealousy is the propensity, the disposition to always suspect rivalry or unfaithfulness. Continuing Webster, hostility toward a rival or anyone believed to be a rival, or that person has an advantage over you. Now, envy, in defining envy, Webster says, malice, painful, resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, where you begrudge what they have, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Okay, that's the English. Let's do it in the Greek. In the Greek, there are two words that we want to deal with in our study, to deal with this discussion. The word we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, is zelos. Z-E-L-O-S. Zelos. There's another word, phaneo. P-H-T-H-O-N-E-O. Now, in the Greek lexicon, used in seminary, art and language, let me tell you how to define zelos. Z-E-L-O-S. First, it's used in a good way, as zeal. Then it is used in a bad way, as jealousy or envy. As for the second word, phaneo, it's used only in a bad sense. Whenever you have this one in the Bible, P-H-T-H-O-N-O-S, N-O-S would be phaneo. It was transliterated. It's used in a bad sense, with both jealousy and envy used in its understanding. This word gives you the antagonism brought on by what others have, or some advantage that you are jealous or envious of. You resent them for having whatever it is. You finally resent that person. They are now the object of your hate and your anger and your jealousy. So it is not so much that you want what that person has. It's not so much you want what they have. You may not even desire what they have. You just hate the fact they got it. You just hate the fact that they are where they are and what they've got, and you hate them. You're jealous of them, and you attack them. So it's this one's even worse in that sense. It isn't even a matter if you had what they had. You don't even care about that. You just resent the fact that they have it. Now, in the New International Dictionary of the New Testament Theology, if we looked up the word jealousy, you would not find an entry. You have to go to the volume 3, which deals with the word zeal, both good and bad usage. However, what's interesting with that is, you look up the word envy, and you will find it with the Greek word thapeneo. For those of you that are really into words, let me give you the Latin. Because Latin helps us a little in a fine distinction of the two words. So this is the Latin. Envy, painful resentment, awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. Get the first word, painful. People, jealousy hurts you. It creates an environment inside of you, and it will eat you away. What did we first study? When we first started our study here, we went to Proverbs, and we saw a passage that says what? It's rottenness to the bones. It will destroy you. And like we've seen before, it may not even bother the other person. They might even know you're jealous. But it will destroy you, people. It is so powerful. And the Latin is really cool here. It says, envy, painful resentment. A resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. Joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Now, when in the Latin, the word for jealousy, more zeal. Intolerance of rivalry. Intolerance of rivalry or unfaithfulness. This is a resentment joined with hostility toward that person. So, in summary, if there's any distinction between the two concepts of jealousy and envy, envy just does not want anyone to have any advantage whatsoever. Envy has no desire to raise itself to the level obtained by the other person. It's just envious and angry that the person has it. It has no desire to raise itself up to it, whereas with jealousy, might have that desire, but not with envy. Okay. Whatever difference is the summary principle, whatever difference we might hunt for, both jealousy and envy are destructive to your spiritual life. Whether you like the word jealousy or envy, it's destructive to your spiritual life. Both have this in common. They look at self. Then they look at what others have. And they compare self to what others have. Or feel threatened. And will destroy you from within. Both will neutralize your enjoyment of life. They will drain you of life, of your relationship with God. Okay, this brings us to Roman numeral 2. Spiritual love will not permit jealousy. Our passage says love is not jealous. Now what I want to do under Roman numeral 2 is, first of all, Roman numeral 2, spiritual love will not permit jealousy. Well, okay, let's take a look. First of all, what we're going to do is look at three ways. So if you want to kind of give yourself an overview, spiritual love and self, spiritual love and values, spiritual love and others. If you think about it, these are the three decisive things about jealousy. Self, values, whatever the values may be that you're going to be jealous of somebody having, and others. We know that jealousy does to these three, and we've taken a look at it, but now let's just look now. All right. Point one, or A, if you please, since Roman numeral 2 is spiritual love will not permit jealousy. I've made this out in outline form so I could follow it myself in preaching and teaching it. A, spiritual love and self. Spiritual love and self. And here we're going to deal with this under 3 points. One, spiritual love recognizes the real you. Now, this is going to become powerful in our study of being who you are in Christ. Because spiritual love deals with who you and I really are. Spiritual love recognizes the real you. Secondly, and this is so powerful for this study and for our study of being who you are in Christ, spiritual love is content with the real you. First of all, it recognizes the real you, and then it's content with the real you. And three, spiritual love, you and Christ. Okay. Let's first of all deal with spiritual love recognizes the real you. Okay. We dealt with this when we studied how spiritual love is the immune system. The immune system. Spiritual love as an immune system. The spiritual immune system. And we saw in that long study, where we lost people, was in regard to immune system, the most fundamental thing you want to remember about an immune system recognizes self. That is the fundamental characteristic of an immune system. It recognizes self. If it doesn't recognize self, see, it will destroy self or it will let some foreign body destroy you. So an immune system recognizes what's foreign, what is not part of us and should not be there, and then fights it off. Bacteria and viruses, these types of things get into our body, and boy, the immune system says, that's not me. That's not me. Go after it. Go get it. And we'll go fight it. And when you have a breakdown in the immune system, that's why these things can start taking over and destroy the body. And AIDS is a deficiency in the immune system. It doesn't recognize self. And therefore, the whole body, there's not a syndrome, it's the whole body. The whole body just starts decaying away. There are little examples that we could use in regard to the immune system. People who have sinus trouble, and all of these things that are in the air, and they really have a lot of problem with it. Well, the immune system has a problem in identifying a person that doesn't have the problem, and you've got a person that does. A person that has their immune system is attacking the body, and instead of just processing like a person that doesn't have it. So it's an immune system problem. So under point one, we're dealing with A now, spiritual love and self. Point one, spiritual love recognizes the real you. Spiritual love recognizes people who you are in Christ. Spiritual love recognizes the new spiritual creation that you are. And this is going to become very important in dealing with Satan's lie. My self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. When we reach the point where we realize that's not my self-worth. My self-worth is who I am in Christ. And when you start accepting who you are in Christ, believing who you are in Christ, and then living who you are in Christ, and what do I mean by that? Walking in the Spirit. Because I am who God says I am. I'm not who Satan says I am. I am who God says I am. And therefore, that's the way I want to live. That means I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Because that's who I am. That's what I am. That's something. If we talk about it, and without just talking about dressing up nicely or not nicely, but if you're going to the big game and everybody's wearing your school colors, you wear your school colors. That's who I am. I'm at this school. And this part, no, I'm at this school. So if we understand and believe who we are in Christ, we'll want to live who we are in Christ. And that is living in the power of the Spirit. When we do that, the spiritual love then recognizes who the real you is. Okay. Now, step point one. Get ready because we got it right here. There is a battle. There is a battle of love always going on inside of you. And I haven't worded it this way before, but we're going to word it this way now. There is a battle of love always going on inside you. It is a battle. It is the battle, and we have the problem with love. There is a love of the flesh self, and there is a spiritual love of the new creature in Christ. It is a love based on your flesh being or on who you are in Christ. And this battle is always going on inside of you. Jealousy arises out of self-love. Out of self-love. Spiritual love rises out of a love for Christ. People, what we're saying here is inside of us are the two natures. And the one nature has an obsessed love with self and is threatened by anything that the other has an advantage. Then there is the spiritual love that is poured in when you're walking in the Spirit. This doesn't consider you at all. One thing we're going to cover, very important, and it's even important on Sunday morning in the test, and I haven't been bringing it out, and I need to bring it out. This is not about us. We're not doing all of this for us. We're doing this for Christ. And the reason I'm pointing that out is I'm discovering that some people use these things for their advantage to make them just feel good inside. People, we suffer for the benefit of Christ. You've got to remember that. And the comfort that he gives us in his Spirit is because we're suffering for his benefit. This is not about us. This is about Jesus Christ. Secondly, jealousy identifies self, identifies the flesh self. Now you've got to think about this now. Jealousy is that immune system of the flesh. It identifies the flesh self and loves the flesh self. And loves the flesh self and will do whatever it takes to protect the flesh self. Now, here's the problem. Here's what's kind of funny. And you've got to think with me now. I don't know how many of you will be able to follow what we're going to do. Well, I think all of you will here. Okay. Here's the problem with jealousy. In the quest of jealousy to protect the flesh self, it often destroys the flesh self. In an effort to protect the flesh self, it ends up destroying the flesh self. It kills self. Jealousy, which is the immune system, will actually destroy the person. It's rottenness to the bones. So a love that self to the point of jealousy will destroy that person, destroy their ability to live. But now watch this. Spiritual love, you will also lay down your life. But this time, it's not a destruction of yourself, but it is a laying down of yourself, of your life, for the benefit of Christ. So you may die under spiritual love. But it isn't like the love of flesh that destroys you. Spiritual love, if you die under spiritual love, it's for the benefit of Christ. Point three. Spiritual love is not jealous because spiritual love recognizes spiritual self. Spiritual love is not jealous. Why is spiritual love not jealous? Because spiritual love recognizes the spiritual self. It doesn't have to be jealous. It recognizes and deals with who and what you and I are in Christ. And people, who and what you and I are in Christ, there's no room for any jealousy. Because the things that we're jealous of are related to this world. Relationships, money, power, prosperity, whatever. And the spiritual you, when you and I start living in this realm long enough, things of this world just aren't going to matter. You know, we can say that. It's like a lot of things we can claim. But you're the only one that'll know in your soul, do you really mean that? You're the only one that'll know. Have you reached that point in Christ where these things on earth, they just really don't matter? I'm not going to get jealous and upset and this and that, because they don't matter. The only thing that matters is the eternal. It's the only thing that matters. And they can just do whatever they want to me, to my possessions. It just doesn't matter. Now, that's a long way down the line for a lot of people. We'd like to think we'd all like to say that, but only you will know. And be careful if you ever say it out loud, because you may be tested on it. I always think Peter opened his own mouth and got in trouble. And Peter said, you know, I'll die for you. These other bums will leave you, but I'll never leave you. I'll die for you. Satan says, oh, yeah, let's see. Let me just find out. Let me have Peter. Let me find out if that's what he'll do. So, and he wouldn't even acknowledge that he knew Jesus, much less that he was a follower. And so you will know whether you've reached this point. But let me explain. When you've reached that point, jealousy's gone. Because there's nothing to be jealous about. What your spiritual self is about is the eternal. About the eternal. So it is the nature of spiritual love to recognize the real you, and then spiritual love seeks to protect the real you. Now watch this. Spiritual love seeks to protect the real you, and therefore will not permit jealousy. Do you see that? Spiritual love is going to protect you. And since it's going to protect you, it will not allow jealousy, because jealousy will destroy you. So that's why love is not jealous. It recognizes self. It protects self. By not being jealous and not allowing jealousy, spiritual love protects self. So it recognizes self, and then it protects self. It recognizes who you are in Christ, and that's who it's going to protect. This is why spiritual love and jealousy are mutually excluded. You can't be in both. That's why some people claim to love God and they're jealous of their brother. You don't love God. Love is not there. You can't love God and be jealous of another believer. You cannot love God and hate another believer. You cannot love God and be envious of another believer. Bitter toward another believer. Those things are not permitted by love. So we can claim one thing, but the reality is what's going on. Now, 4, as a spiritual immune system, spiritual love kills the enemy. Spiritual love kills the enemy that would destroy your spiritual self. So it prevents jealousy from ever entering it. In the sense of our analogy, it destroys the virus of jealousy. Spiritual love destroys the virus of jealousy. 5. Got just a few more to go here. Spiritual love recognizes jealousy as destructive to your spiritual self. Spiritual love recognizes jealousy as destructive to self, and therefore will not permit jealousy, is not jealous, will not tolerate it. Six, you cannot battle jealousy. This is so important. We'll close with this. You cannot battle jealousy from the flesh. You cannot battle jealousy from your own self-will. It will eventually break through. That is, jealousy will. Why would the flesh destroy its own immune system? People, it's not going to. We got all these heaps and things and the dynamics of love yourself and do this and not being jealous and all of the psychological and answers that man has. In the energy of the flesh, be strong, overthink it, all this kind of stuff. You will not combat jealousy in the flesh by your own self-will. You stop jealousy by putting on the immune system against it, and that is spiritual love. You stop jealousy by maintaining spiritual love in your soul. If spiritual love is flowing in, it is not jealous and will not permit jealousy. So, spiritual love frees us from jealousy. Spiritual love frees us from the protection of self. Spiritual love frees us, or sets us free, from all of the destruction of jealousy. Okay, next week we'll go into spiritual love is not jealous, and then we'll go to the second level of it. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our society gets so complex over these destructive things that go on in our souls, and jealousy, hate, anger, fear, so many books written, even by Christians, so many points, so many things to do, so many things to learn. Keep working at it. And you've made it so simple and free. If we'll just walk in the power of the Spirit and allow your Spirit to pour in spiritual love, there will be no jealousy to deal with. What an awesome God you are. We praise you in your Son's name. Amen.